Welcome to The Parish, a community of ordinary people walking together in the way of Jesus. The messages are just one part of the Sunday morning experience, and we hope you join us for worship and the rhythm experience soon. We meet at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings.
Good morning, everyone. How are we doing? Good, good. Some people coming back from vacation, others didn't. Okay. My name is Jamie. I'm a part of the leadership team here at the parish, and this morning we're going to continue on in the book of 1 John chapter 3. We've been reading these letters that the author John wrote to a group of people, and he wrote them with like the encouragement of, hey, just kind of like if it was us today, like, here's, you guys are Christians, are trying to follow after the way of Jesus. Here's some thoughts, here's some ideas, here's some ways that he experienced Jesus and the ways for us to live in it. And so Ryan talked last week about this like old new commandment. It's not really new. It's actually a really old commandment from the very beginning, but new from Jesus, and it's love God and love others. And so if you notice a theme in this entire book of 1 John, that's just what it's about, loving God and loving others. So we're going to talk more about that today. And that's really the point of the parish. When we look at the point of the parish, we are a group of ordinary people following in the way of Jesus. And so I'm going to speak from that place today of we're just ordinary people following in the way of Jesus. We're looking at this letter from John and trying to figure it out. And so speaking of ordinary people, it reminded me of a teacher that I had growing up in middle school. We have these people in our lives often that are kind of really impactful. I had a math teacher, middle school, Mr. Sather, that believed in me. He was a fun teacher. Everybody liked him. He didn't take himself too seriously, you know, and he made math, like, enjoyable. And he also had a couch in his room, so you know he's a cool teacher if he has a couch in his room. Like, kids want to hang out there, that kind of thing. But it came to the end of eighth grade, and you're projecting for high school, and I remember Mr. Sather pulling me aside and saying, Jamie, I want you to consider going to advanced math next year, which is not that big of a deal, but, like, the point of the thing was that he pulled me out, saw something in me, believed in me, he spoke something into me, and he gave me a vision for high school, and he challenged me. Like, he was like, hey, you're going to have to, like, actually pay attention in class and, like, do your homework. You know, he, like, really, really saw me for who I was, spoke vision into me, spoke life, challenged me, and spoke truth. And so I went into high school, and I skipped. I went to the advanced math track. There was, like, two tracks. So that means I missed a class. I missed an algebra, okay? So I know Montana math doesn't make sense, okay? But all of a sudden, I'm in geometry, and I missed some parts of algebra. So I'm in the class, speaking of another ordinary person. I have a new teacher, and she is going on about geometry, and you might be wondering at this point, how does this have anything to do with John? But we will come back there. And I raise my hand and I ask a legit question. I was not being sassy. I legit had a question. And she looked at me and yelled the whole class and said, are you serious? And it was like that frozen moment where you like back up, you know, and you're just completely embarrassed. You feel really dumb. And she didn't understand. She didn't see me for who I was. Like, she thought in the moment, Jamie's being sassy. She's doing whatever, trying to make a show out of this. I'm frustrated about whatever else is going on in the classroom, and just totally singled me out. And I wanted to be like, listen, lady, I skipped a math class. No. Later on, we reconciled. She came back and apologized. And but in the moment, she just assumed the worst, right? She didn't speak truth into me, and she didn't seek to understand what was going on there, right? And I tell you that story because we've all had, hopefully, somebody in our lives that sees us more than we see ourselves or knows us deeper than we know ourselves. Maybe it's a teacher in this case, or a coach, or a spouse, or a family member, or a friend. They believe in us, and they speak, like, love into us, right? And it's far greater than what we know of ourselves. Does everybody have a thought in their mind of somebody that has done that for them? I hope so. Because this is also the way that God sees us. So if you don't have a person in your life that's exhibited that, hopefully the scripture's encouraging to you today. So we're going to read out of the Passion Translation just for something different today. And this is how God sees us. So I'm going to read the first two verses here. Look with wonder at the depth of the Father's marvelous love that he has lavished on us. He has called us and made us his very own beloved children. Like, whether you have a really great relationship with a parent or not, like, you can understand the symbolism of a beloved child, a beloved parent, that kinship there. That's the way that God feels about you. The reason the world doesn't recognize who we are is that they didn't recognize him. Beloved, we are God's children. I typed this, so that's my fault. That's misspelled. We are God's children right now. However, it is not yet apparent what we will become. But we do not know that when it is finally made visible, we will be just like him, for we will see him as he truly is. So the author John is talking about, like, when Jesus lived, they didn't recognize Jesus as the representation of God's love for us. But you, us, we are beloved. We are God's children right now. And we don't know yet what we will become. Just like that teacher spoke something into me, like, I know that you could get there. I know, I see this in you. The same is true for God. He's saying, you are my beloved children. I know this about you. And someday we will be made visible and we will be made like him, for we will see him as he truly is. And I think that's the key right there, that first that we have to understand that we're beloved children of God. That's really hard. That we're part of God's family, that he loves us, and whether we choose to be a part of it or not, like, that love is still there. And we become like Jesus as we see him for who he truly was or is. I think it's hard because we are, like, sinful humans that are full of depravity, right? Maybe not you, but maybe some others are like that. But God sees us as we truly are, with all the mess. I actually have this sticker on the back of my phone that says, God loves everyone you hate, which is funny to me because it's everyone I hate. I don't actually hate people, so I say, and everyone you hate too, you know, and it's just a funny reminder to me, but that's the way that God looks at us. Like, we're all beloved despite our depravity and our sin. And he still loves us, and he still sacrificed Jesus for us, and he's still working on renewing us each day. When we become more like Jesus, there's this thought in Christian faith that we'll become righteous. Even in this verse 7, it talks about being righteous. Whoever practices righteousness as he is righteous. And so sometimes I think we get annoyed with the church because we think, oh, those people go to church or they claim they're Christians, but they're hypocrites, right? That's not righteous, whatever that is. That's not good. Same is true for me. And so then we go to church and we're like, okay, I'm going to try not to do that. I'm going to do this better. I'm going to do this, or I'm not going to do that, right? But I just feel like righteousness is just not real. This is my own perspective. That people who follow Jesus are really just a bunch of hypocrites. Like, we're not righteous. We're not. I don't know about you guys, but that's my my take on it. God could tell us that we're righteous. But I think of it as like this, like going back to the teacher analogy. I don't know if you guys did this in class, but I was really good at cramming for a test. And this is how I think about righteousness, right? The information was prepared, given to me. I memorized it, right? Crammed it in. And then I performed well on the test, right? And then I walked away and I could tell you nothing that I learned because I didn't learn it. I was really good at performing. I would memorize, get a good grade, move on, right? I feel like the same as righteousness. Like, okay, we understand this is what we're supposed to do with God. We're going to perform favorably to others. And then we move on. And like, is there really ever integrity from the inside out? Does that make sense? So I just am telling you, I just don't believe that righteousness can be crammed. It really has to come from truly understanding God's love and his sacrifice for us. And that's why in those first few verses, like, it really stopped me this week, because there's like 12 inches between like your brain and your heart, which is like the figurative place where your soul, your spirit is, or whatever. And there's a long distance from like understanding something to like knowing it in your being, in your spirit, in your soul, right? Like, I can understand, okay, God loves me, I'm a part of God's family, but for it to like somehow move this 12 inches down that I live like that, like, that is the real work. That's the understanding and knowing of God's love for me that would actually help me to behave more righteous, or to understand my righteousness as I love others, right? And that's where this old new commandment comes in, of loving one another. I think it really has to start back with understanding I'm beloved, understanding that from this space to this space, and then moving to a place of like, now I can love you because I understand that for myself. So I'm going to read the kind of in the closing part of this chapter, 3, verses 18 through 20. Once again, the author addresses us as beloved children. Beloved children, our love can't be an abstract theory we only talk about, but a way of life demonstrated through our loving deeds. We know that the truth lives within us because we demonstrate love in action, which will reassure our hearts in his presence. Whenever our hearts make us feel guilty and remind us of our failures, we know that God is much greater and more merciful than our conscience, and he knows everything there is to know about us. So if we break this into two different parts, this beginning part is just that gap between our brain and our soul. Like, we have to understand that the love in our brain so that we can demonstrate it through our actions, through our deeds. And we know that the truth actually lives within us when we demonstrate that love in action. And that will reassure our hearts that God is with us. So like, others will know, we will know that integrity from like our soul to another when we actually love somebody because we know we are loved. When we do something sacrificially because we know we've been loved sacrificially. And then the second part of this, I think, is really interesting. When we know our hearts make us feel guilty or remind us of our failures, like this thought of like, oh, there's not integrity. Something's not right here in my soul. And we all have like different responses to that. I think some of us are really harsh on ourselves. Like, we know so badly and we're the harshest critic, right? Some of us are way too gracious and we're like, it's okay, it's all right. Some of us are ignorant, like you didn't even think about it. Or you're just unaware. Maybe you think you're thinking about it, but you're not actually aware of what you're thinking about. Or maybe you don't care. but regardless, God is much more merciful than our own conscience, our own processing of how we love others. And he knows everything there is to know about us. I'm going to tie this back to Mr. Sather. Like, he obviously doesn't know me as well as God, but like, he believed in me and in my abilities like way more than I did. He spoke power into my life over a stupid subject than I was ever able to, because he knew more than my conscience. Like, he knew, like, that actually is in you. The same thing is true for God. And when that aligns, then we can have integrity from knowing God's love, receiving it, and then sharing with others in action. And so I think I have one more verse up there. There we are. So this is the closing verse of the chapter. And so this would be kind of our closing commandment today. So these are his commandments. This is the old new covenant that Ryan talked about last week and that is in every single chapter. that we are continually place our trust in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and that we keep loving one another just as he commanded us. Love God, love others. He says it in the way of trusting in the name of Jesus and then loving one another. So my closing two questions for you that might take a while to process is, do you believe in your belovedness? Like, do you know that you are a beloved child? Do you think that's true? And then does your soul, spirit, body, whatever you want to call it, know of it too? You know, has it moved from head to heart? And then in the thought of loving others, are you aware? Like, do you think about it in your walk daily, where you work and where you live and where you play? Are you aware of how you're loving others or serving others or representing yourself to others? Are you unaware? Are you harsh on yourself? Are you graceful? Are you ignorant? Are you ambivalent? Like, where are you? Maybe just stating where you are first. And then what could you do to help you to be more present in that space of loving others, sacrificing for others, out of a posture of truly understanding your own belovedness? So those are my two thoughts that I had to share with you today and were something meaningful to me, so I hope something landed there with you. I'm going to close this in prayer, and then we'll move to the rhythm. So, Father, thank you that you think of us as a beloved child. Thank you for your love and your grace for us. Thank you that you speak plainly to us, but also really big ways that we can't understand totally. Thank you for people in our lives that see us and know us and love us despite our sinful depravity. Lord, we just pray that you would help us to understand ourselves more today and understand others and to extend grace and love to one another a little more because of what we know of your love and your grace for us. So Lord, we love you and I give you this morning and whatever we do. Amen.
We appreciate you listening online to our talks from previous weeks. For more information about our church or to see where we are currently meeting, please visit our website at www.theparish.us.